Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Good morning. All my friends here on WMIE and WWBC, thanks for taking 30 minutes today to join me. We're going to hear something hot off the press. This was just preached yesterday here at Island Community Church. Now, Island is a church that I pastor. If you're looking for a church, if you like what you hear here on the radio, our address is at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. We meet Wednesday for Bible study at 6 o'clock. Love to see you. Our Wednesday night Bible study is fantastic. We roll out the blackboard. We're open for question and, Lord willing, answers. And the Sunday sermons, you know what to expect. You're going to hear one now I've entitled, "So You're Agnostic, Huh?" You know, I get a chuckle out of those that like to call themselves, unwittingly, agnostic. And if you realize what the word meant, which we're going to get into right in the very beginning of this message, if you knew what the word meant, you wouldn't be in quite so much of a hurry to label yourself that. And that's where we're going to start here. The word of God is going to make it plain and clear, friend, that there's no such thing. When the smoke clears, there's no such thing as an agnostic. Matter of fact, let me let this opening play for both days, Monday and Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, I'd love to see you tomorrow night at Island Community Church at 6 o'clock. Again, Wednesday at 6, we're looking at the form of God. Looking at the transfiguration, amongst other things, Jesus existing in the form of God. We read in the Bible, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So, but that's for Wednesday. Here for today, the Holy Spirit is going to look you square in the face and ask you the question, so you're an agnostic, huh? Here, come with me for a little walk. Perusing on Facebook, mainly, I see people like to call themselves by the hip and stylish name, agnostic. I hear that phrase all the time.
Well, I'm an agnostic. Have you heard that?
Well, as if that made you some kind of deep thinker. Well, let me say that if you knew what the word meant, you wouldn't call yourself that anymore. Agnostic. A, you put an A in front of any word, even in English, and it negates the word, like atheist. Really, that's funny. That's a good one. Atheist doesn't mean you don't believe in God. Atheist really means you're without God. How apropos is that? There is no atheists. You're just without God. But here it's agnostic. A negates the word. Gnosis means knowledge. Put it together, and what do you got? Stupid. Imagine introducing yourself that way. Hi, I'm Steve. Oh, hi, I'm stupid. If you knew what the word meant, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't call yourself by that moniker anymore. If you knew what the word meant. Does that make you mad as a self-proclaimed agnostic? I hope a little bit. I intended to just rouse you a little, and it proves my point all the more. You better find out more about something before you start proclaiming it. Because that would make you a fool. Right? You're going to call yourself something, and you don't know what it means? Agnostic means stupid. Take it from someone who speaks Greek and is a Bible translator. Don't call yourself that. Don't call yourself that. Now, what you mean to say when I ask if you are an agnostic is, well, I'm not too sure. I'm skeptic. Prove it to me about the one named Jesus. Now you're talking my language. I accept that challenge. Let me ask the question. Do you know what the word prophecy means? And do you know the reason why prophecy is in the Bible? All right, prophecy defined. First, let me say, it's not in the Bible so that authors can profit off of it. Prophecy. Number one, the foretelling or the prediction of what is to come. Number two, something that is declared by a prophet, especially a divinely inspired prediction or instruction or exhortation. Number three, a divinely inspired utterance or revelation. In simple layman's terms, a prophecy is something that is spoken in utterance of something claiming to be fact before it happens. That's what prophecy is. And that's key, is before it happens. And that is what sets this book, the Bible, this book of faith, that would dare put its reputation on the line and predict the future and tell you something before it happens, is prophecy. A third, 31.3% of the Bible is prophecy and tells you things before they happen. That was Pastor Darren's whole Sunday school this morning, was how King David, 930 years before it happened, told you Jesus was going to die on the cross, that the Romans were going to gamble for his clothes. That's in the Old Testament. Mark, that's 930 years before it happened, that they're going to gamble for his clothes, and that the last thing they're going to do is they were going to offer me sour gall to drink 930 years before. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That is what prophecy is, 900 years before. Now, let's say I bought a book claiming to be prophecy that said the following. Hypothetical. You guys need to know your presidents, though, or as Popeye would say, your presidents, a little bit to know this. The 35th president of the United States will be a war hero, and his three sons will be war heroes, and he'll live a long life and die of heart failure. Who is that? Everyone's kidding. Now, if I wrote a book of prophecy on John F. Kennedy that started with that statement, what would you do with it? Throw it in the receptacle, right? How about this? A king from Virginia will arise, and he'll be the first king of a new nation, and he'll be a general in an army. And then my book continued. And 15 kings later, another king will arise out of a house of logs, and he will set the captives free and die before his time. He will die in a booth, by a booth, with an E on the end. Oh, man, what would you do if you read that? 800 years before that happened. And you see, get it? You wouldn't understand it until it happened. What do you mean he's going to die in a booth, by a booth? He had his own private booth at Ford's Theater in Washington, Friday night, April the 12th. And the man who killed him? John Wilkes Booth, with an E on the end of his name. What would you do if you had a book that read that way? If you read that, which is guaranteed written with eyewitnesses, let's say 700 years before it happened, even though you couldn't understand it at the time, until the proper time, would my book at least then have your attention? And if it wouldn't, then you are being intellectually dishonest. You're being dishonest with me. And you're not an agnostic. Don't even deceive yourself. If that book wouldn't raise up and prick your ears, you're not an agnostic.
You're fearful that if you say yes, that it might cost you something. That's the truth of the matter. And then I'll say that, yes, you truly are an agnostic. And you're more right than you realize that this will cost you something, as your soul will be required of you. So did you know that God's word is as explicitly clear as my fictitious book was? Except his is legit. His is absolutely true. Now, I'm no mathematician, but others are. They've run the numbers before. That is, the odds of one person, any one person, of fulfilling the description of something explicitly written about them before the fact. Mathematicians have run these numbers. Now, remember, the odds grow exponentially after two. I just read to you some from Sunday school this morning. What are the odds 900 years before the time of that you'll know the Messiah when people gamble for his clothes and the last words out of his mind is, I thirst? Now you're up to two. Any sap maybe could guess that. But once you start getting more and more, the odds of being right are exponentially increased. Now, I read this morning of a $1.28 billion lottery. One person hit it. Everyone read about that? Now, the odds of fulfilling, because you want to talk numbers, you don't even have to be a believer. We can talk numbers. Get out your calculator. We can talk numbers all you want. No faith is required to do this. The odds of fulfilling three prophecies is the equivalent of hitting that billion-dollar Powerball every Friday night from your 18th birthday to your 85th. You know what? They'd get a little bit tired of you down there at the State House. Can you imagine that? Every year if you went and you kept hitting and hitting, that's the odds of this happening. So let me take you on a short trek through the Word of God, and let me prove to you that indeed there is a God, and that he sent his Son into the world to reconcile you back to him for the sole purpose of this, that God loves you. This is why I did it. Because God loves you. That's the reason. That's the reason why he did all this. Now, before I go any further, let me anticipate a possible objection. Maybe you say that Christians, after the fact, have gone in and altered the word so that it would seem that Jesus did all these things or that these prophecies were legit. Sorry, that argument doesn't cut it. Because the Old Testament, the Greek Old Testament, was translated, actually, the Jewish Old Testament, the Hebrew, was translated into Greek 250 years before the birth of Christ. This translation, known as the Septuagint, is a known fact. It's in the world's oldest and greatest library in Alexandria, Egypt. Also, the Dead Sea Scrolls, which contain the prophecies I'm going to share with you, date back to 100 years before Christ. So you can't say that people went in afterwards and changed the word, because it's in the Old Testament, long before anyone heard of Jesus. Men didn't go in and change it. Let's start with something written 700 years before Jesus was born. The prophet's name was Micah. This is what he said. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. He says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you is going to come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." All right, now here's a prophecy that God gave to the Jewish nation in his word, establishing that somebody special was going to come out of Bethlehem. And this special person's got no beginning, that he's already existed from eternity past. Now you can see why not too many people can foot this bill here. Again, this is what Micah wrote. Out of you, Bethlehem, will come forth to me a ruler. Okay, maybe you say, well, David came out of Bethlehem. True. But this was spoken 300 years after David died. So you can't say it's him. And David's beginning can be determined as well. We know when he was born. We know when he died. Now, I think you can see what I mean when I'm talking about odds. God says this man, this promised ruler, would come from Bethlehem. Narrows down our potential list, right? Let's narrow it down a little bit more. Now, in the New Testament, the Apostle John wrote this very thing, his very first sentence of his gospel. He says, in the beginning was the Word. It's the name for Jesus, Logos, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, you can't point to a time when Jesus was born. Find when the beginning is, and you'll find when Jesus' beginning was. That's the best way I can explain it. You can't find the beginning. It's everlasting. But I ask you, what are the odds? I challenge you, find two people so far who foot the bill. Next up, the words of another Old Testament prophet. His name was Zechariah. Now, this prophet made this statement. He said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. That's Israel. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, this particular prophet, 450 years before it happened, said that you'll know God's king when he rides into Jerusalem sitting on a donkey, riding on a donkey. That's fulfilled here in the New Testament. Let me read it to you. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples saying to them, go into this village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from trees. This is where Palm Sunday came from. Others cut down branches from trees, spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. So you're an agnostic. This book right here just told you 400 years before it happened that you'll know the Savior when he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. Here's a few more to help with your skepticism. I'll run through these rapid fire. And where it's written. Number three, he'll be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. Sorry, I don't have a handout. If you want these later, ask me and I'll make sure you get them. Number three, he was born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. Number four, it's written the time of his birth. Daniel 9:25. The Magi knew it. Remember on Christmas, we get up here and I tell you about the Magi? Remember the three wise men looking for Jesus? We read about it every Christmas. How did they know what they know? Because they understood this prophecy. They came from Babylon, the wise men of Babylon. Daniel talked about it, and they didn't forget. 400 years later, they didn't forget what Daniel said. That's how these guys were looking for him. Number five, all the children under two would be killed because he was hated at 2 years old. Can you imagine that? Their son is hardly 2 years old. Imagine killing every child. And it was written 700 years before that you'll know when every child under 2 years old in this town is killed. You wouldn't be quite so fast to label yourself an agnostic anymore, would you? Number six, he would flee to Egypt for a while, Hosea 11:1. Number seven, someone would prepare the way before him, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Number eight, he was declared to be the Son of God, Psalm 2, verse 7. Number nine, he would speak to the people in parables, Psalm 78, verse 2. If you notice, Darren, this is an all new list here today. I don't have to read the same 40 or 50. There's 200 I could read from. You guys haven't heard any of these before. It's a whole new list. Flee to Egypt. Someone would prepare the way before him. That's number seven. Number eight, he'd be declared to be the Son of God. Psalm 2, verse 7. Number nine, he would speak to the people in parables. Psalm 78. His ministry would be to heal the brokenhearted and the sick people. Isaiah 61. Number 11, his own people would reject him. Psalm 53, verse 3. Number 12 and 13 and 14. He'd be a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of Isaac, and a descendant of Jacob. How are you doing, agnostic? See, I'm here to help you. I want to help you understand. Don't call yourself that anymore. Here's the evidence. It's right in front of you. Are you just a skeptic because you don't understand? Here it is, right here. God's showing you the purpose of prophecy is so that you will know Jesus Christ is Lord. This is what he did on Easter morning when he walked on the road. He did the same thing that I'm doing here today. He went back and showed all of these Old Testament prophecies proving who he was. I'm doing just the same thing he did. Here's a few more if that's not enough. You have the odds of traveling to Jupiter and getting there before sundown is better odds of one person doing 14 things about him before he was born. Those are the kind of odds we're talking about. Okay, number 15, he was betrayed by a close friend, Psalm 41, verse 9. He was betrayed for 30 silver coins, Zechariah 11, 12. When accused, he didn't say anything. He didn't respond, Isaiah 53, 7. Those who beat him plucked out his beard, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. Number 19, they hated him for no reason at all, Psalm 35, 19. I wonder, Mr. Agnostic, do you do the same? Do you hate the Savior of the world for the same reason, which deep down is no reason at all?
All the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Love is a beautiful thing. It takes a heart and lets it sing. Love changes everything. It ends the war that lies within.
Land. So all the sons and daughters rise, we're shining.